Hi, this is Mark.
Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing great. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Today's date is September 20th, 2010. It's about 2:48 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and this is my second interview with Mark Davis. And Mark Davis is a gentleman that wrote a book. I'll let you give the title of the book that you wrote about international dating and travel.
Sure. It's called Mastering the Adventure of International Dating. And on Amazon, just type in international dating, it'll pop up to the top. Also today with me, I've got my wife from Ukraine, Anna.
Hello, hi. Anna.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. I wanted to first of all say that the whole purpose of this interview is this is a joint interview with Mark and his wife, Anna, from the Ukraine. And we're going to touch on the touchy subject that Americans, a lot of people that scoff at the idea of international dating, they're always saying all these girls just want to come over here to get a green card and then either take your money or divorce you and whatnot. We're going to talk about the fears that people have. And Mark, we also agreed to talk about what things to look for in a woman from overseas to prove that she's sincere and not just looking for that so-called green card. Are we clear with that?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, well, let me let you start out because I watched your two – you had a two-segment video. I think it was 15 minutes apiece or so, and you had talked about this fear, and I guess we're just repeating a lot of it, but I want to hear it from your perspective again so that my audience can hear it.
Well, sure. In fact, I think we pick up from the last interview. What I kind of wanted to do was take it from my wife and I, our first day. We want to talk a little bit about language issues and scammers and things like this. But one of the things I was aware of, because the date I had in Odessa with a girl just, we mentioned last time, you know, wanted me to buy her a bunch of stuff. I stupidly did, so that was my bad. But when I finally met Anna, one of the things that impressed me was that she was so clear on wanted to make sure I understood that she was not out after my money. She didn't ask for anything. She didn't want anything. Didn't even want me to pay for a cab fare, you know. And of course, I'm the gentleman. Of course, the man pays. I mean, that's the way it is.
Right.
Even in Ukraine among dating men. So, I mean, you do the gentleman thing. But, you know, she was making efforts to me that she wanted to say, look, I'm serious about marriage too. In fact, it was cute that when we ended the last interview, I was talking about the double date I did with Anna Red and Anna Blonde.
Right.
And we ended that day with saying, look, I'm here looking for a wife and I'm fairly serious. And I asked them both, are you both serious and looking for somebody? He said, well, yeah. And I said, well, would I be an interesting candidate for you? And they both go, well, yeah, okay. So we agreed to go on a date the next day. But it was easy to be able to have a conversation and say, look, I'm sincere. You know, I'm here for this. Is this what you're interested for? Because you can ask them anything. They're very authentic people. So don't be afraid just to, you know, ask clearly if this is, what are you looking for? You know, are you here just to meet foreign people? Is it interesting to you? Is it fascinating? Or are you especially interested in finding money?
Well, yeah, but I mean,
well,
if you ask them what they're interested in, if they're looking to not necessarily look for a husband but scam you, then they're not going to tell you that either.
No, but then early on you'll start, they're not going to go very long if they're trying to scam you without trying, right, to ask for something, because they're not going to waste their time. If they're not getting anything out of you, they're moving on.
Right. Okay. So you obviously you knew that Anna was a good girl. She didn't ask you for money. She wasn't trying to get you to buy her expensive gifts, which I have seen a lot of guys do that type of thing. And that's, I'll tell you something. I found out about generosity. I feel a generosity to a stranger is like chivalry to a feminist. The two don't go together, because when you show generosity to somebody that you have nothing invested in, you absolutely are setting up. They're going to probably either despise you worse or they're going to take advantage of you either way.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, the golden rule is there's no gold goes to any girl that you haven't met in person, for one. But second of all, that isn't already you're in a relationship with as your girlfriend, because then you have some expenses you want to, right, you know, take care of, both in the, you know, visa processes or simply want to be able to give her gifts, because then at that point you both committed to be exclusive to each other for a period of time. Then it makes sense to take care of your woman, right, you know, and that's a different scenario. But until that moment comes,
right,
you know, how can you be scammed if you're not opening your wallet?
Right.
You know,
that's true. Yeah, that happens real quick. I mean, if somebody is out to get you, you know, it's kind of like if a person is out to mug you and lead you. This happens a lot in the Philippines. I hear a lot of guys will say a guy will come up to you and befriend you, and it'll be real friendly. And, hey, would you like to meet my family and blah, blah, blah. And eventually they hold you up at knife point or they get a bunch of guys to mug you. If somebody's going to do something to you sinister, they're going to do it fairly quickly.
The cases you mentioned are another reason why I say you don't go traveling alone. Go with a group. I like the tour. Right. I like going with other guys. But let me go back to the one question is, because there's two sides to it. One, guys are worried about getting scammed, meaning they're going to get somebody to try to take money from them. But the other side of it is they just personally can't believe that an attractive woman, you know, that looks like a movie star in our country would want an average guy. And and you have to understand, why would they do that? And so you have to understand what their experience is like, what they're looking for in life, and what they would expect if they didn't go out of the country. Babe, can I ask you why, you know, just tell the story, why you signed up, what you were looking for, what your dating was like, what men were like?
Well, men in Ukraine just fine. They just don't want to stay with one woman for a long time. And many women just get tired of it. And some women even married good, they get cheating on it still. So right. We're just looking for some men.
Right.
And who will be just faithful, you know, be a good husband to your children and, you know, be supporting you. And it's all what we're looking for. It doesn't matter how he looks like. You know, if you have this soul connection, it's just anything else doesn't matter for you.
Now, let me ask Anna a question. Why are so many foreign women dying to meet American men? I mean, where does it come out that, for example, in your country, in the Ukraine, you watch a lot of Hollywood movies, and I guess you in Hollywood assume that Americans are these loving social people that talk to strangers, which we certainly are not. How did you know, how did she know, or Anna, how did you know that American men were these knight in shining armors, or at least a lot of them were?
Well, I wasn't looking for exactly American men. I just really want to have family, and I went to a marriage agency, what called my end. Okay. And can be any kind of man, German, you know, Chinese, American. We just meet a whole bunch of people and see if you have with anyone connection.
Okay, I see. So you wanted a connection.
And it's not about America.
But you didn't feel that you would find it in the Ukraine or Russia. Is that correct?
Well, I did feel, but like I said, many of them not faithful, and there's, you know, they have problems drinking, many men with smoking, some men abusing women. So why you don't want to find someone who just love you, who are you, you know?
Right.
Because
yeah, we have the reverse crisis in America. Men, the dating is a disaster, and that's why I do these interviews, because I guess it's a match made in heaven, a foreign woman and an American guy, because it seems that what we're dealing with now is total polar opposites on opposite sides of the globe.
Yeah, it is. And that's why I keep trying to tell guys, that's why, you know, guys, we talk about, you know, that red pill, blue pill, the matrix thing. You have to understand, you get out of the country, you also have to get out of your mindset, because they're not out after the same things you are. What they value is different. What they're, you know, well, and I'll just tell her, you know, Anna said, without this chance of meeting somebody out of her country, she really kind of expected she'd be like the rest of her friends.
Single,
you know,
yeah.
Single, raising a child with somebody that came along the way who would leave, and then she'd just be a single person raising a child and going through various relationships. So that's the way it is over there.
Yeah, that's true.
And so the greatest commodity is, like you said, Hollywood movies, is we picture this thing about the, you know, what we call the white picket fence, the family, this thing around the Christmas scene, and it's something they don't have. And it's worth more than money. And so what guys don't get is everybody thinks they're all out after your money. Why? Why? You know, if they had money there, it actually would probably be a negative thing. Some rich guy there is going to have tons of women.
You know, it reminds me of the old scenario of stereotyping somebody that you don't even know. You know, living down the street from a person you've never talked to and making snide remarks about them. And then you meet the person, you find out they're nothing like that. All people, especially Americans, have a tendency to judge things before we've really gone out and judge, you know, or actually met that person or gone to a certain place.
Right. Well, because we come from our own perspective. We say, if it was us, if it was a girl in our country, you know, the only reason she'd go out, you know, any hot girl here, the only reason she'd go out with an average guy or certainly a much older guy would be for money. So why would
exactly.
they expect women around the world to be different? It's because they haven't been there. They don't get it.
Right. Exactly.
You know, it is different, and they value different things.
Okay. Let's you mentioned, so you and Anna obviously were a match made in heaven. You guys had good chemistry. language barrier. Let's get into that, because I'm of the opinion that if a guy could learn a little bit of Ukrainian or Russian or whatever language, he might impress the girl better. Is it, you say that it's not necessary because you got translators. What's what was it like when you first met Anna?
Well, it's so funny because all of our friends that we know, the guys don't speak any Russian, you know, and some of them married 10, 12, 15 years and they still don't speak any Russian. So it's nice if you have a few words just to say, whenever we Skype with her family, she goes, you know, honey, at least say hi and call them by name, you know, on Skype just to be pleasant. But they're not really expecting us to come over there and speak Russian and to have actual conversations with them in their language. But I will say I did have the most common prejudice that most guys have is what they perceive to be the extra effort to have to meet somebody who doesn't already speak really strong English.
Right.
You know, that's work.
Right.
And so for me, I had the same attitude. It's like, look, I'm only going to date girls that already speak some English. So
right.
At the end of the social on our last conversation, I ended up where I met the Anna Red and Anna Blonde and we went out to dinner. I really didn't know that she wasn't fluent in English because she was connecting and I was having such a good conversation, obviously most of it with the redhead girl and Anna, my blonde, was chiming in. But when we set up dates for the next day, I was almost surprised that she said, can I get a translator?
Right. Wow. That's amazing. So in other words, the way that you guys were connecting, there was very little language barrier, but she felt uncomfortable with her English. Am I correct?
Well, yes, I studied German in my school, but since, like you said, Hollywood movies, we have bad translation in the movies. You can hear English word enough to you can hear our own words.
Right.
So when I was a child, I remember some words, so I can understand everything what he said to me, but I couldn't, you know, tie words together to respond to him back.
Right.
So I just realized if it will be serious, I don't want to have, like, you know, some problems in the future. I just want to make sure someone will speak for me clearly and, you know, educate. I don't want to embarrass myself too.
Anna, you pretty much have no problem. You've been speaking English a couple years. You have basically no problem, like, watching TV and understanding everything?
No. I didn't have problems when I met him. I just was shy to talk because I knew I couldn't type words together.
Yeah, you think about it. Anytime you learn a language, there's the first phase is being able to either hear it and listen to it and kind of understand. But there's this whole another mental process that comes with then trying to, okay, now I have to find the word to say.
Right.
And so that's kind of where she was. She could mentally kind of hear probably, 50, 60%?
I understand 90%.
Yeah, okay. So she was hearing and understanding, but it's like, okay, now I have to say back. I don't know that I could find the words.
Right, I see. So then she probably learned it in junior high school, English or?
No. She took 4 years of German. She took no English.
So when did she actually start learning to – I'm just wondering, if I marry a girl from over there, it's not going to be a problem that they're going to have a problem learning English. Is that correct?
No, not at all. In fact, here's the truth. Anybody who has a reason to want to do something will
do it.
Of course you'll do it because you have to somehow communicate with your husband and tell he did something wrong.
Right, exactly. Well, Grad, that's
– she learned so fast – let me skip ahead a brief, and I'll come right back. But when we finally decided to make an exclusive relationship and start the visa process, I went ahead and started her on English lessons. I came back for a visit 2.5, 3 months later, and already she was so dedicated to, like, oh my gosh, I've got to get up to speed on English. By the time I got back 3 months later, her English was so good we never needed a translator again. So it's not a permanent situation. Any girl who's motivated can get there very quickly.
I see.
Here's the thing. So we're at the next date, and I've got a translator here, and this is my first time to try using a translator. And again, I'll repeat this because it's so important. If you guys ever need a translator, even if you're not dating, if you're traveling abroad, there's just a very simple rule. When you're talking with the person, you look at the person you want to talk to. You look at her, right? You look at your girl, and you talk with full expression like she was understanding everything. Like I would be talking to you, Steve, eye to eye in a cafe. I'm just expressing, having a conversation. And then you stop to let the translator say. A lot of people have the misperception that you look at the translator and say, tell her this. Wrong. You totally miss it. You don't tell the translator, okay, now tell her this, because then you end up creating this awkward three-way conversation. Instead, you tell her what you want to say, and then you pause. And what happens is, and the translator says it, and then the fun part is this gap. normally in conversation, when you and I are, as Americans, talk, we're so self-absorbed. When we're in a conversation, we don't even finish listening to half of what the other person says.
That's a very good point there, because to interrupt you, I noticed when I listen to this interview over and over again, I get more out of it.
Well, you're right, because our mind is already somewhere else. We're already thinking about how it relates to us and how it relates to our story, and we're thinking about how we want to respond before the person's even done.
Right.
What this forces you to do is absolutely magical, and I would recommend this to anybody just so they understand real communication, what it's about on three levels, not just the one words-to-words level. So you have this opportunity then when you watch her listen to the words you said. You get to watch her fully respond with no other agenda in the middle. You have to wait anyway. So you get to watch her emotionally respond to the words you said, and then she talks back to you. And you have no idea what she's saying, but you can see the expression in her eyes, the body language. And then when you hear the words that go along with it, it adds a deeper communication than you would if you were just two people talking English. So I highly recommend it. Don't be afraid of talking to somebody who doesn't speak your language, because it can actually be a very rich communication process.
I see. Okay. And is there any reason why an American guy, and this is getting into a pet peeve, when I went to Germany back in 91 it was, I was there for about a year, and I learned German, or I taught myself through cassette tapes. Why are Americans so reluctant to learn foreign languages? Is it because they feel that they're not going to live there long enough to really make it worth their while? Because I kind of had the fantasy, if this is just my opinion, a lot of guys feel that if you're going to marry a foreign woman, you're better off doing it in their country and staying there, only because that's the paranoia thing. But is it just harder for Americans to learn foreign languages?
Well, honestly, we do what we have to do. And the truth is, English is the world's second language.
Right.
You can go anywhere and find probably half the population that can carry on something. A decent conversation.
I see.
So
okay.
One of those things, we don't have to. You don't have to learn another language to go anywhere in the world. So we're lazy. We're just lazy.
Okay. No, I understand that. I personally am of the opinion, and this is just getting into a different subject, I like foreign languages, although I'm not fluent in German anymore. I was a lot better at it. But but that's another subject. As long as you and your wife can communicate, that's fine. That's all that needs to. That's all that matters, really.
Yeah. You know, to me, it's still something I want to learn Russian at some point, because I think it'd be fun for us to have a private conversation. Nobody else knows what we're saying, and just, you know, kind of tweak their melons.
Right.
But that's just because we're sort of whack that way.
Right.
But
that's
it's not critical. It's just not. So
I see. Okay.
That's my take on the language issue. You can go anywhere in the world, and even using a translator, you can make a connection. And don't just limit out half of your dating options because you're only going to date somebody who's just fluent in English already. You'll miss out on some great ones. I certainly wouldn't be married to the woman I am today if I had done that. So what else you got?
Okay. Well, so then that happens. So then what's the visa process like? Now this is a process that kind of really bothers me, because we have 20, 30 million illegal aliens in this country. Yet you want to bring one person over from the foreign country. There's a process from hell. I know the answer to it, but it is a pretty tough.
No, I'm actually.
Go ahead.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. I think it's not a quick process. It's a 6-month process.
Okay.
But most of it's just waiting for processing. It's not like it's work.
Okay.
And I'm going to disagree with the fact that it's cumbersome, because here's the thing. First of all, before we get to the visa process, you have to understand why would you get into a visa process is because you both are declaring it an intent that you'd like to pursue marriage together.
Okay.
I mean, that's a pretty strong thing to say. So let me back up for a second. So you've had these great dates with somebody. You have this great connection and energy. And in fact, it was cute. Anna says early on, she referred to me as like a boy with a candy. It's like, oh, my gosh, you know, and we are. We're just like, oh, my gosh, this is so great, because it's a dream. And it's like we never thought we would have this. And here it is. And she's sincere. So we get to that place, it's like, what do you do? A lot of guys that I end up counseling with are want to pull the trigger and propose marriage. And I'm going like, dude, you've known her 5 days, okay? No rational person in the earth can do that. But the problem is you can't start a visa process without signing an affidavit that says we would like to intend to pursue marriage.
Okay.
So here's my advice. It's like, first of all, you can declare an exclusive boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. And so this is what I did. The translator helped me. She was adorable. She got her ring size. I ended up getting her a ring, and I sat down over dinner, and I just said, I'd like you to be my girlfriend, have a period of time just to get to know each other. And she said yes. And so then at that point, she said, what are our options in order to really see if this is real? I've got to have her here living with me for a while to make sure she's comfortable here, the two of us together in my home makes sense and fit. And there are several ways to do it. You could do it through student visas, you could do it through tourist visas, or the fiancé visa. The problem, if you do the first two and then you do decide to get married, you got to start the process all over again and reapply for a fiancé visa. So, and it takes the same amount of time, so you might as well do the fiancé visa. So I ended up hiring an attorney firm. It's $1,500, and that included somebody that spoke Russian to help her with her side. Basically, all you're trying to do, and this is where I think our government does us actually a favor in trying to make sure that we're not getting scammed, is they're going to make sure the girl is who she says she is with legal documentation, birth certificates, that she's not a criminal, and that she's not bringing disease into the country. And we apply that you're the same thing. You're a valid citizen of the U.S. Mm-hmm. You know, all these, you haven't tried to do this in the last 6 months, trying to get rid of people who are, you know, trying to bring in, you know, I don't know why, bringing multiple people through a fiancé visa process.
Right.
And then the other thing that's interesting is you also have to prove that you met in her country, because the government's going, look, if you're going to try to tell me you're bringing this person into this country because you have a romantic relationship, then prove it. Just show me you've been there. You met her there in her country and we're cool with it. So that was all it was. I had to show 10 photographs of the two of us in her country and a couple of email exchanges, and that was it. And then we just waited for the process to start. And during that time, we got to know each other better.
What I don't understand about the kind of the prejudicial attitude American immigration has is, why can't a Russian or Ukrainian woman just get a passport and fly over here? Why is there this huge restriction on people from Eastern Europe just getting on a plane and coming here?
It's not just Eastern Europe. It's China. It's Brazil. I guess one of the terrorists was from Brazil. There are many, 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 many countries that are on the I'm not going to say unfriendly list, but certainly on the we want to check you out first list.
Okay, I see. So in other words, they have to prove they have some valid reason being here, like business related, right?
Yeah, that they're not, you know, that she's not an actual spy from the KGB or something. You know,
well, if she wanted to visit the Rocky Mountains and say, "Oh, I found out about Disneyland," a Ukrainian family could not just get on a plane and want to visit Disneyland.
No.
Wow, that's sad. I mean, we can go visit a Red Square, but they can't come over here. It's interesting. I'm sorry, you're cutting out. Are you there?
You got me,
Mark. Yeah, there's a blank spot in there. I'll repeat that. I says that obviously we can go to their country to visit unlimited, but they can't come here.
And that's just one of the realities of the world and world politics or national security, whatever you want to call it. But the American passport is sort of welcome anywhere in the world. And yet we accept, I think it's like 42 nations will accept passports for unlimited come and go free access. But the rest of the 300 nations of the world have got to go through an extensive process.
And I understand why, because it's obvious that if people did do that, they would come over here illegally and want to stay here. And, God, could you imagine all the beautiful Russian women just flocking here? You'd have 10 million women going on vacation, and they would upset a lot of women in this country.
Yep.
what's your take on that, Mark? When women see you with this gorgeous Ukrainian woman, do they get, like, jealous that they don't – that you had it so easy compared to most guys? You have to be a movie star to date a girl as beautiful as your woman. That's an impression we get. That's not actually true, but a lot of people say, "Oh, you got to have a movie. You know, you don't have to be a movie star." But you know what I'm saying?
No, that's very kind. You got a good smile out of her. She appreciates that. But no, it's kind of cute. And this is where, as a guy, you've got to be fairly secure. You know, because if you expect to bring a beautiful woman here and she's not going to get hit on and looked at, you're naive.
Right.
The incredible thing to understand, though, from any guy who's actually been in a committed relationship with his women is, you know, we talk to each other, and the phrase among us guys is, you know, this woman would take a bullet for me. I mean, you just don't understand how once you're their man, it's like, this is my husband, and, you know, they would kill for you or die for you. It's just, it's an amazing commitment. So if you are comfortable in that, relax in that, enjoy the fact that everywhere you go, you get to have the bragging rights of always having the most beautiful woman in the world on your arms, and let other guys enjoy looking. I mean, you can't. Of course, they're going to look, and you know, of course, they'll ask me, you know, how'd you do that? So that's where I wrote the book.
That's a great book, and you put it. And I have read many chapters, and it does put together a good. So what else? Where else do we go? So she's here. You go through the. It takes 90 days. Now, what if you wanted to cycle through women? Let's say you wanted to be a chronic dater and go back to Russia and just keep dating women. In other words, let's say 90 days goes up. You have to pay for the girl to go back.
Well, you know, if you just want to be a dater, don't go through the visa process. Just go back, meet more, and have a good time, and go do it again. If you're going to declare marriage, it's a pretty serious thing.
Right.
But again, the thing we've said before is that if that is your interest, then, you know, that's where you go to where the serious women are also going to be. You know, you're trying to make the connection. I'm serious where the serious women are. That's where I like going through the marriage agencies overseas, whether it's through a social or asking them to make introductions for you.
Right.
You at least know everybody's got the same agenda.
Okay.
Because if you go through the visa process, it'll take 6 months, it'll take some money, and then you have her here for 3 months. And here's where, you know, it's where, as Americans, we get this buffer, this three-month cushion. When she comes, you have 3 months to decide either get married or she goes back. And the default is she goes back. I had to actually book her return trip ticket back to Ukraine and before she could come, because if you don't present a marriage certificate within 90 days, then she has to be on that plane back.
Oh, I see. So yeah, she's got that tight. I see. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, but as an American, that ought to give you comfort to know, like, you know, I'm never trapped in this. There's no point where I'm pushed. I always have the final say, and I get the comfort of being able to have all that time here to make sure us together still feels the same as it did when we were spending time together in her country. So. Right. I think that don't feel that you're going to get trapped or anything. You've got a long time to make sure that this is the right decision.
Right. It sounds like you definitely found the right decision. I mean, it made the right decision. And so I was kind of puzzled about the video that you had given me the YouTube link to. All those guys that went overseas, only three marriages came out of that. Do a lot of the women look at the fact – I was going to assume this. There was those beautiful young Ukrainian girls that were 19 years old. The one was a singer. Do you remember those girls in the video that you showed me?
Yeah.
And the one girl, she seemed like a real sweetheart, the brunette, and she was, you know, on stage. She was trying to attract men over to her, so she got up on the stage and started singing. But I'm thinking these girls don't have many options as far as age, because you don't see 25-year-old American guys going over there. It seems like they're a bunch of older guys, and I guess I put myself in that category. I'll be 40 this year. Does that bother them, the age factor? I mean, there is several years between, and of course an American guy is just going to look for the youngest girl. So does the age factor create a problem for the girls, thinking they're wishing that they could find a guy more like their age, don't they?
Well, personally for me, like judged by my country, women get older much faster if you same age, like women 20 years old and men 20 years old. Women get age really faster because, you know, you have all these problems,
maturity.
Children, maturity. And sometimes, you know, just not enough for you. Like, I wouldn't date same age guy, you know, like me, because for me, just not same maturity. And plus, you know, I don't want, like, in 20 years, I want to look like 50 years old grandma, you know, and he would be look like 35 still. So for me, it's like I want to be hottest one in the family always. So for me, you know, 10, 15, it doesn't matter years, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care.
And how old were the guys you were dating when you were dating?
Well, when I was 17, I was dating same in my country. I was dating 35 years old guys, you know, 30, 29, something around like that.
Right.
Yeah. Part of it is they don't think the guys are serious enough to even settle down and consider family until they've gotten sort of their craziness out of them in their 20s and they're actually thinking about it. So for, you know, Anna, who is serious and, you know, obviously dating guys, but obviously hoping to find the one, she's like, look, they're not really men until they're late 20s, early 30s. And so, I mean, you can imagine the difference. We can't comprehend the difference in maturity here. The stuff they have to grow up with, to have to adopt a life. They graduate high school at 16. They're in college. They're working full time. So they grow up fast. So a 17-year-old over there would be more like 27 here in life experience.
Okay, I understand. I don't in America, I don't agree that women are more mature. I find out that I've seen 40-year-old women acting like they're 25 again. But what is Anna? What is your opinion of American women in general in the way they treat their men? Do you feel that American women are a good choice for American men, or what have you noticed about American women that you like and dislike?
Well, I have to say, I guess my country, we more think about ourselves. We think how we look like. We always put makeup. Doesn't matter even if we go in grocery store, you know, because we're watching your Hollywood movies and you show us all these movie stars and we're like, oh, you know, I think it's right way to do it. So we do same in Ukraine all the time. And sometimes you come here, you go in the same grocery store and, you know, a woman can wear like her, how you call it?
Pajamas.
Just to go buy something. I mean, I don't think American men will attract you to be that woman.
Yeah. Well, you want to, Anna, I want to tell you the answer for that. The reason why American women do this, 50 years ago, American women did dress properly. But what has happened is there's so many more single men than women. American women have almost just told men to go to hell. I'm going to wear pajamas. And you'd be surprised at how many women that dress like this still get flirted with by guys. And this is my pet peeve of the American women is that they just don't understand. I mean, they don't know how to behave, but you're right. I mean, you see pictures of Russian women. They go to the grocery store. They look like a movie star. I mean, they're the clothes that they wear, the exotic clothes I've seen those Russian and Ukrainian women wear. I just don't even know where they get those clothes, because I never see American women dress so well as I do than in like your country.
Yeah, so, well, I don't think if something wrong maybe with American women. I think maybe just American men have to stand up and say, you know, no to it. Or, like, for example, I was driving with my husband in the car, and we see this huge, handsome, attractive, muscular guy walking the street and walking in Chihuahua. And I'm like, it's funny for me, because, like, if I have Chihuahua, I will never make my, you know, his beautiful husband go and walk Chihuahua, because it's just wrong to me. So for me, it's like, I don't think woman is, it's her fault to tell her go walk your dog. It's man's fault to say, no, honey, it's a woman dog, you're go walk your own dog. So for me, I think maybe just men stand up and say, hey, you know, it's not right. Maybe you should put some makeup on, or maybe some different clothes. Let's go buy you some clothes.
Yeah, Steve, you got to pause for a minute and absorb this, because to me, there's such a comfort in what she's saying, and so true to the masculine and feminine. What she's saying is, you can't blame the woman for asking. The guy's the one who has to say no. And
yes, but unfortunately, Mark, and I'm guilty of this too. And I am. I you know, you might think I'm more desperate than most guys, but I have tried. Like I see most guys. I'm a school teacher, and I would say one out of every three guys I know going to trade school or going to any school seem to be single or looking, or they'll never admit they are. There are so many more single men in America than women. I really believe that this is a numbers problem, Mark, because when you have an unattractive woman that is out of shape that can go to the grocery store in her pajamas and still have a skinny, good-looking, average-looking boyfriend, there can be nothing else than the market is just not good, which is all the reason why the men should go the international route. Have you ever thought about the numbers ratio, Mark, as to why these foreign women just dress more beautifully?
Well, because we have good example. Like you said, Hollywood movies. We watch all the time that. And do you see any Hollywood star not attractive? No, I don't think so. It's for us, like, you know, generations and generations example in our eyes, and we just want to look good. You know, I want to feel good, because I know maybe I don't have enough money, or maybe I'm going to have a husband, but at least I'm going to be look good, you know?
Right, and I think that's great to want to look good, but I guess what I'm saying is the one of the reasons why your women in your country and a lot of foreign countries dress nice is not just because they want to look good. They have no choice if they're going to attract a man. You have to be on your best behavior. But if an American woman can go to the store or to sit in the airport with her laptop and her hair look like a rat's nest and her pajamas on, there can be no other reason other than the fact that she feels that she doesn't have any competition. Because
yeah.
I can't think of any other reason why a woman would not want to dress good unless if she doesn't have to – if all of a sudden in the Ukraine there were – there were 10 guys for every if women had, like, there were tons and tons of guys, I think the women's attitude might change too. But unfortunately, I think it's total role reversal.
Yeah, well, you got go back and re-listen to what she said because it's so priceless. And that's why I love having her say it. If I said it, they wouldn't believe me.
Okay, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Hang on a second. She just said men have to start saying no to the sloppiness, the overweight, the inability to care for yourself, because the woman doesn't want to care for herself.
Right.
You know, why do you want to invite that in? And the men have to start saying no. And your point is, which I understand, is if we said no in America – we would have no women.
Right, that's exactly women. Right. We would have no women because
and our point is here is that men, you have a choice now. I'm here with good news. There is another way.
There's another way. Yes, yes, absolutely. I hope a lot of nice pajama wearing American women are listening to this. They'll know that yes, men, you have a choice. Anyways, thank you very much, Anna, for filling me in on that, because I did want to know why that I'm glad you noticed the pajama phenomenon and the sloppy dressing, because and Mark, you're right on the money. You got to say no. You got to mean no, not just say it and then give up on it, you know?
Yep. Okay, what else you got?
That's about it. I mean, I've pretty much asked all the questions. Did you have anything else you wanted to throw in extra?
Well, yeah, because I got to address the things I keep getting asked by guys.
Okay, I'll let you take it away from here on out. I won't interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. The rest of it has to do with kind of what I call the happily ever after package, you know. So it's like you get this one, you're all getting excited. And I know, because we're having this weekend, we're getting together with two couples who just finally got their dream woman here just within the last 30 days. And they're all excited. And so it's a fun process. And there's two things that come up. One is, how do you help her adjust here, and what are the things that are shocking? And the other one is this big concern they all have. There's two more. The thing is, she just can become Americanized and then turn out to be like every other American woman out there wearing pajamas and telling you what to do. And the final thing is, you asked me earlier, and I need to touch on, is the issue of finances and how do you protect your assets? So let me start with that one, and then we'll go to the cultural adjustment and the Americanization question. The issue of finances is really pretty simple. I got to tell you honestly, it was on our shortly after where my wife asked me. She goes, I'd like to actually sign something for you or put it in paper so you understand I don't want any of your money. I'm really in here for you out of love. And I chose personally not to go with the prenuptial route because I'd already done the legal work of creating a holding company that had all my assets in it and all these kind of things. And so pretty much none of the things I had were touchable anyway because they were in a living trust and they were in a holding company. So there's – first of all, if you find the right girl and her heart's in the right place, you don't have to have that worry because you've pretty much sorted out and realized this is somebody who wants your heart. And it's going to be made clear through the dating process. It's not about your money. But the legal protection is you have a prenuptial agreement, which the nature of that is because she has the rights to and want married – half of everything that you earn together after marriage, not prior to, but it's like from the time you're married, everything you earn together.
Mark?
So what you do, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you got cut off for a couple seconds. What was it? Okay. Now, you were mentioning about she has rights. She basically has half the rights to your property just as an American woman would if anything you make after you're married?
From the day you get married going forward, whatever you make together is equal property. So here's the way the law works at it. If you create what's called a prenuptial agreement, what that is a negotiation you do ahead of time to say, if this doesn't work out and we part ways, we will both agree that you will accept this as a consolation prize, basically. And it can be a dollar amount, $5,000, a half a percent of something, you know, just in case your assets go up or down. But you pick a number. And so that way you decided that number in advance and it's not necessarily half. And then she goes, yeah, that's fine. If it doesn't work out, you know, 5,000, 10,000, whatever number you want to pick, 2,000, she just wants enough to know that I can get home. And so you agree in this document to be able to say that. So a lot of guys do the prenuptials. I have no opinion on it either way. In my case, I had taken care of my assets through other legal vehicles. And it's just not – it's not a big deal. You don't have to worry that you have no choice. You're helpless. You're you're going to be some victimized man. You have total control of this and a lot of time to work it out and think about it and ask for legal help. So it's just not a problem. You can talk to anybody. You can talk to me. You can talk to an attorney and look at your various options. But you're never a victim here. She can't come over here and just take half of everything you get because you get married. You got to separate the issues. You know, that's why I tell guys, it's an issue of the heart. You're trying to find your connection, your partner. And the more you can separate that from these fears you have of the money, because the money can be handled. You can protect that. You know, it's the issue of, is this the right person for me who's going to support me in my life and my agenda? So that's the first issue. Yeah, okay. Second one is, it's here. There are adjustments that happen, and most of them have to do with adjusting to our culture, adjusting to a certain amount of loneliness, and disconnection from family. So the first thing is, we had Skype, and I wish we had more of this while we were dating, because we didn't really do Skype while we were dating, and I wish we did. We just text message and had phone calls once in a while. But now Skype is prevalent. Everybody's got it. And in fact, I think it was almost as soon as you got here. No? How long was it before we started Skyping with your family? Really? Okay, so we went a while, and she was just calling on the cell phone to talk to family. But the ability to talk to family right away, so she can share with them her excitement, what her life is like, and hear their voice is important. So I think that's one piece. And with Skype, it's easy, you know, because she can see her family, look in her mom's eyes and her grandma's eyes every other day. You know, I mean, it's something she does regularly here. So it keeps that homesickness away. The you know, what you want to do is when you you'll have a certain group of friends who will say, you know, hey, when she gets here, we want to welcome her. We want her to feel, you know, welcomed. And so you try to introduce her to some friends. And the rest of it, just you can't avoid it. Just talk about it. I remember the thing that shocked her was just the fakeness of people everywhere here. You know, because over there, they're authentic. They're not going to say, smile and say hi to somebody unless
yes.
they know.
Yes. Speaking of fakeness, I've noticed with American girls, when they chit-chat, they'll giggle and laugh. But it's like it's almost like they're putting on a Hollywood act. It's not a true, sincere The fakeness that Americans have is unbelievable. It's like a role they're playing out. And in other countries, people are just matter of fact. They just say what they feel.
Yeah, no, and it's true. And so the thing that drove her nuts is at the beginning, and of course, she got used to it very quickly, but we'd go into these stores, and you know, in all retail stores, somebody has to greet you when you walk in the door. Hi, welcome to Walmart. And she's like, why are you saying that? Why are you smiling? And why are you talking to me? I don't know you, you know?
Right.
And we do that on the street, too. And even in the workplace, you know, she'll find out that somebody will be smiling. You find out they say something different behind your back. It's like, oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Right.
You know, so a little bit of that. But other than that, I think she had pretty much seen enough American movies to kind of be aware of what she was getting to. Were there any big surprises for you? No? He says no.
Okay, great.
Finally, the last thing was about becoming Americanized, and babe, I don't know what you answer that. You become like other American women.
I don't know. You tell me.
My observation is with the people we've worked with is that if they grew up in that country, that's their culture. That's who they are at their core. And you've already heard her talking for the last half hour about her opinion about American women. You think she's going to want to become like one?
I think that she's well on her way to holding on to her values. I think that those values are very much set at a very early age. I don't have any doubt that your wife is authentic.
Yeah, no, and this is now 4 years we've been together, 3 years married here in this country. She weighs the same as she did when she got here. She still dresses just as nice and adores me, and I adore her, and it's there's been no difference. It is everything we hoped it would be, and as time goes on, we grow even more comfortable with each other in terms of relaxing and realizing we can trust. You know, that's the other hard thing, is that you realize when you do this kind of marriage, you have so little, you don't have as much, like some people will live together for 6 months and then decide to get married. Well, you've kind of worked out all the issues in living together all that time. Well, here you've got cultures and you've got the shorter window of time you're living together, and you know you made the right decision because the connection is there. You realize you found what you're looking for. There's this great sense of wholeness in your heart. But still this, you know, the questions of will there be anything else that comes up? It takes a little while to work them all through and just go, wow, you know what? This is everything I wanted it to be. And no matter what comes up, our commitment to each other, we'll work it out. It's just we just feel absolutely comfortable with unconditional love that we're good. I would let her go out even with some girlfriends, because over there they dance with other girlfriends. I'd let her go out with other girls, and she'd come home and she goes, "Hey, honey, I had to flash my ring 7 times to guys who are hitting on me, Sean. I'm married, you know." Yeah. It's like, and yet we have American guys here that go, "How the hell can you do that? Why would you let your woman go out in public looking the way she does by herself, you know?"
Right.
Don't they, hon? Yeah.
That's an interesting contrast. And then you wonder what happens then. This is going further down the road, but if you marry a foreign woman and you have children together and they only speak English, like stay in America, how do the young daughters, what do they base their value system on now? Because if you're a young girl growing up in this American society where men are basically, I don't want to use the derogatory term, but you know what it means, pee-whipped, how do the children of the foreign wives generally turn out better or at least a little bit more cultured than their American counterparts?
What do you think? Well, you know, we're still at that place of looking, deciding whether we're going to have kids or not.
Okay.
We probably will. But we've talked about the fact that she says so many times, "Babe, if I have kids, you got to understand these kids are going to be like military school. They're going to salute."
Kids over like 5 seconds, change your diaper.
Like, oh my God! Yeah, that sounds so.
Change your own diaper. You're on your own. You know, it's like, but yeah.
We have different discipline. We have completely everything different. So in my eyes, if I have children, they'll take everything the best from America, but they will know where the roots come from and how hard it's in different part of the world.
Yes.
And, you know, you kind of hear and spoil your children sometimes.
No,
but sometimes
no.
Children have to see the eyes.
Yeah. I was going to ask, this is something related to what we talked about, going back to the Ukraine to visit family. Do you ever get homesick that you want to see your family?
Well, no. I just have so much stuff going on here. I already have my own family, you know.
Okay.
I sometimes sick by my mom, but I can call her and see her on Skype, and I'm just fine. You know, I don't have to spend $2,000 to buy a ticket and go see her for a week, or I can do same every day, you know, see her on a TV screen, and I'll be fine.
Okay, I understand that. Then you're very comfortable with your decision, because I do know that I've heard of marriages where, contrary to what people say, a lot of times what causes a divorce is the woman gets homesick and she wants to go back to her country. And of course, the guy obviously isn't going there. And so, you know, that's. But you have Skype, so you can see your mother every day if you want to.
Yeah. Well, maybe another issue. Maybe like man is too protective, or, you know, some men are jealous. Don't go in the public dress like that. You know, maybe right. Just women don't have enough entertainment in her life. And after she find any reason to just end that relationship.
Yeah, I think her point is that really a lot of this is on the guy. You know, we've seen both of that. We saw. Anna Red, you know, came over here and she had to take time to warm up and learn to get out and find her own zone. There's a lot of people that do different things. You know, the guy's got to be able to be comfortable with his woman. We've had one guy here who came back and got engaged, brought a woman here, and in the 90 days realized, you know, it wasn't a fit. And so many guys would feel obligated. It's like, wow, I've already got her here. She's begging, don't go back, you know, keep me. But he's going like, you know what, this isn't quite the fit. And you got to man up and say, you know what, I have to be honest. I'm not gonna marry if it doesn't feel like the right fit. But you have those choices.
Right.
And so for the guy, it's like, you know, just do the right thing. Because the guy I'm thinking of who ended up sending his girl back, he still knew, though, that out of that foreign place, he knew where to go fishing again. He knew where they were. And he found his girl, and this one was right. And he's getting married. So it's like, be comfortable in who you are as a man is probably the most important thing I could say.
Yeah, because it's woman with respect. You know, you don't show your fakeness. You show who you are. And, you know, it's what I like about you.
You know what I like about foreign cultures, except for America? A woman expects a man to be the leader. And in this country, we don't even know, with all these young men, Mark, being raised by these single mothers, men really don't know what the rules are. Because if you're a guy that was born in, say, 1982, I was born in 1970, but let's say you're born in 1982 or 84, you don't know the rules, so you're living in this world where you're like totally caught between a rock and a hard place. So dating is a nightmare for especially younger guys, because, well, I should say all men, really, but because men don't know how to be men anymore.
I would tend to agree. You know, and it makes you grow up a little bit, because they're expecting you to lead. when we go out, they go, well, you're the man, what are we doing? You know, and it's, you have to rise up and be able to give leadership because, you know, they'll say, you're the man, what would you have us do? And because they want to serve, it's like, I'm here to help. What do I need to do? You tell me what we're doing. So, you know, as guys, it really is a different place for us to have to realize, oh my gosh, then I have to grow up and be a man and lead. but once you get to that place, it's so reaffirming and it's such a great thing to be comfortable in that. And it's not that you're being rude or bossing her around or telling which way to go, but she just wants to know, what's our family about? You know, how can I help to make our family work best?
Right. And that's interesting. You don't have to be a belligerent barrer. You don't have to be to be a man. You don't have to be one of these belligerent alpha male types. You just got to be able to make decisions and know how to say no. That's a big thing. Say, know when to say no to a woman that's obviously not on good behavior.
Well, look, in my book, I've got a chapter in there on masculinity and femininity, and it goes through both. There's three core aspects that a man is looking for, but there's three that a woman are looking for, and one of them is, she wants to be part of something bigger than herself. She wants to be caught up in an adventure. She wants to be pursued. And so to appeal to the female heart, all those reflect on the man who wants to pursue her, not in the way we do in America. We're feminized here. We chase girls like we're stalkers, and we dote on them like we're weak. Right. And it's not about that. It's about saying, you know, I have choices in my life, and I want to take serious attention to get you to know you better. That's flattering. That's a very mature flattering. But the other part is, she wants to be caught up in something bigger than herself. Too many times guys make the girl the object. They're all enamored with this. Oh, my
yes,
gosh.
Yes,
and they're all obsessed with it. It's the woman. It's the woman. And she's like, look, I know me. Okay, I'm not interested in being more absorbed in me. Yeah. What are you about? What are we going to do together?
Yeah.
And what they're looking for is, they want to know, you're going somewhere in life. You've got things going for you. Other people respect you. You've got plans. Mm. And she just get caught up and be on the arm of the champion, the guy who's going somewhere, doing something, has some success in life, and just wants to say, take me with you. And so part of that is, as a guy, we have to know what we're about and where we're going. And then the woman just wants to be part of that. So to me, it's not about bullying or anything else. It's just simply a matter of, you know, have a plan, be going somewhere in life, and that's what she'll want to become part of. That's the leadership aspect.
Okay, well, I'll touch on a touchy subject, but it's not touchy enough. It's the money issue as far as you bringing a woman here. Let's say you don't make a lot of money, but you make enough to maybe support you and a woman. Does a woman – can money, if obviously if you're financially better off and you live in a nice house and you have a lot of spending money, that does make a marriage easier, whether it be an American woman. Does that same dynamic play itself out with a foreign wife, that if, like, you marry a woman, let's say she maybe has to go work at another job, does it create a problem with the money? Is a big issue, because if you don't have a lot of it, then you're going to feel like you've got to compete with guys that do have a lot of it.
No, I think there's a misperception there. The misperception is the last part you said, that you're competing with other guys. Because, you know, here's the part where you got to imagine this, Steve, to get comfortable with this thought. She dated younger and much more handsome, stronger, muscular guys than me before she met me. Why'd she pick me? So you think she's going to come here and all of a sudden be attracted to those guys?
I know what you're saying. But I think what foreign women look for is more of a security, not just a good fun ride. Now, my question is if you're a guy that's a school teacher, let's say, and you're a high school teacher, you're doing okay, but you're not rolling in the dough like somebody who owns a contracting business or something. And money is a very big issue in a marriage in America, especially where money's tight. Does money play an issue in an international marriage? Or is it less of an issue with a woman because, in other words, she's not going to compare you and say, well, why don't we make more money than the Joneses down the street?
Right. Well, I have to say no to that, because in my country, we was raised already too tight on money, you know. And like I said, money can go easily and come, but your relationship will stay, and you have to just work it out through all that stuff.
Boy, those are beautiful words, exactly.
Because right now, like, we're not good in money, so I went just get a job, you know, and I'm fine with it. I'm really glad to help my husband with the money, and it's not a problem. It just, you know, I make family, and it doesn't matter, you know. I don't want to be a bird in a gold cage and just, you know, be like some crazy guy who jealousy, but I'll have lots of money. No, I just want to be really free, like I am right now with my husband. He just loves me who I am, and I love him who I am, you know, and it's just great. I don't see money definitely not issue for me.
You know, Anna, you touch on an interesting subject, and I'll say this, Mark. What we used to value is what we don't value. We put money before we try to act as if money is what keeps the relationship together, but really eternal love is what keeps the marriage together. And if money follows, then it's the icing on the cake. But the love and the companionship have got to be the forefront of the relationship, not this idea of, like, American women always have this attitude that they want their daughters to marry a very successful guy. Like, they send them off to college so they'll marry a good guy. But you're saying that love and companionship are definitely on the top of the pedestal.
Well, yeah, because I don't have anything else in my country. I just have my family to love, you know? And we have enough money for food, you know, a little bit. Maybe we struggle sometimes, but we still love each other, and we're just family.
I see.
Nothing can break that apart.
That's great.
You know, it's the same thing I told you. We had this conversation last time about my daughter. She could choose to pursue this career guy or the guy that she loved. And so she found love, and she's happy with it, and that's her choice. And guys, we have the same choice, you know, and we want to find somebody that wants to be connected with us. You know, in marriage vows, you say better for worse, richer and poor, but it's almost like it's bull crap here, you know, nobody buys, right?
Yeah.
Nobody buys it. It's like, no, it's for Mercedes or Benz or, you know, or a Beamer or whatever, you know, it's like until I decide you're not making enough for me. And that's an American value, again, that we want to put on somebody else. That's not where they're coming from.
I agree. I think that's absolutely a beautiful concept, the concept that men and women stick together and they work as a team, and that's a beautiful – I think I'm sold. I think after talking to Anna, I am definitely sold on the foreign route, that the least of my worries is going to be the money issue.
Well, yeah, and plus you can say in front, like, hey, I don't have enough money, I just make, you know, what I make, and if you're okay with me, and if she'll stay with you, it's obviously she didn't do it for money, she do it for you.
Oh, that's, yeah, I understand that. I think, Anna, I've pretty much asked all the questions I could ask, unless you want to add anything before I end the interview, Mark.
This is exactly what we were hoping to convey. We wanted, and I'm glad Anna was able to sit in on this, because, you know, guys will listen to us and they go, yeah. But it's like when you hear it from her and you hear her heart, you realize, wow, there might be something to it. And, you know, I want, for guys who resonate with this, who are piqued, their curiosity is there, they're frustrated in the dating scene, I want you to realize you do have a choice, but you're not going to know unless you get on a plane and go find out. You got to meet them eyeball to eyeball, toying with the thing, playing with it, teasing it by just writing some people over the internet. Is crap. It's all crap.
Yeah, it is, and I'm guilty of that too. I've had so many women that I've talked to from like Thailand that they would say, like, when are you coming here? And I'll like, well, maybe sometime. This was like a couple years ago, but I understand now that if you can't play with these women's hearts, you got to really get on the plane and get there and do it.
Yeah, and trust the fact that when you arrive, there just be so many opportunities that you're going to have to just trust the fact that there's a saying about showing up is when the magic happens, right? And
yeah.
So it's part of just showing up is where the magic happens. There was one guy, I loved it, I had him on one of my podcasts, was listening to him recant his story. He was an older man and decided, you know, I know enough, I'm making an intellectual decision, I have faith in the system, I'm just going to go. Haven't written to anybody, I just believe that when I get there, they'll be able to introduce me to enough people that I'll find the right one that'll connect with me. And it happened exactly like that, and he was just so delighted with the woman he found. And I know that on that one video, they were saying when they closed, out of the first city, only three guys got married. But out of the 25, there were two more cities still to go.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Plus, you don't know how many.
Oh, are you there? Mark?
Yeah, I'm here.
Mark, I think it's on your end. A lot of times when you talk, like, there'll be like a space between there. But okay, we're getting back to what you said about the like they only showed two tours, and then you said what you left off there. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, loud and clear.
All right. Well, I'll just wrap it up with this. You know, in my group, I made good friends with about eight guys there, and out of them, six of them are married today. So I can only speak for the guys I know, and then the guys we help. They've all found somebody. So it is working. I think the biggest effort is being true to you. What are you really looking for? If you know what you want, then you'll be gravitated to finding it. and just get on a plane, because you never want to ask that question, guy, you know, I wonder what would have happened if I'd gone, and you don't go. Get the question resolved. Go make a trip. It affects your life profoundly, the person you have to be with you for the rest of your life. Somebody to support your efforts can magnify your chances and odds for success in career and happiness and everything else you do. If we don't take ourselves first and foremost and give ourselves love and credit to say, I'm doing this for me because I'm worth it and I'm not going to settle for less. As my wife, Anna, said, say no to the crap and don't settle for it. Don't accept it. You don't have to accept it. We're here with good news. There are alternatives, there are choices. And we just really encourage you to look at them. Our website is...
Here we go with the space again. Your website is what?
International-dating.com.
International-dating.com. And that is the I'm surprised you were able to get your hands on that link or that URL.
We are international dating. We're all about it. So on Amazon, you can just type in international dating. We pop up first, or international-dating.com. I've got a free book on there too. There's a link for a free audiobook I called The Secret World of Women. You can get it for free. Just go ahead and grab that and learn more, because you are worth it, man. You're worth it.
You are worth it. And Mark, I'm going to tell you something. I think in these two interviews, you've spelled out everything. If after these two interviews, these two plus hours, people can't glean anything or get anything out of this, then nothing's going to convince them at this point. A guy that's gone out and done this, but you come across as the utmost professional. And I think that you pretty much have got me convinced that this international dating is for real.
It is, and I appreciate that. Thanks so much, Steve. You know, I always enjoy our conversations, and I look forward to any time we can do it. And I hope this helps a lot of guys.
Yeah, I thank you. And also, Anna, I want to thank you for taking and participating in this interview. And just I wanted men to be able to hear your voice to let them know that you are sincere.
You're so welcome, Steve. Yes.
You have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.